Okay, now.
Have everybody's attention, please. It's July 8th, 2026, regular planning board meeting. This meeting has been advertised pursuant to Public Law 231, also known as the Open Public Meeting Act. We're going to have a flag salute.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Now, roll call, please.
Mr. Adams.
Here.
Mr. Allegretto.
Here.
Mr. Barnes.
Here.
Mr. Becker.
Here.
Mr. Birch. Mrs. Halliday.
Here.
Mr. Jessel.
Here.
Wait. What?
Mr. Jessel.
No, Mr. Jessel. Mr. Loper.
Here.
Mr. Shepherd.
Here.
Mr. Stell.
Here.
Dr. Vandeshore.
Here.
Under new business, PBA 25-005-3515 Bay Avenue, PL 3313 Bay Avenue, Block 3306, Lot 1, redevelopment zone. Mr. Battistini.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, my name is John Battistini from Garrett and Battistini, appearing on behalf of the applicant 3315 Bay Avenue, LP. This is an application for preliminary and final site plan approval for the redevelopment of Block 3306, Lot 1, the former C-Square condominium. One of the threshold points that you're going to hear today is everything the board will hear tonight. On December 18, 2025, the City Council adopted Ordinance 25-15, which designated the parcel an area in need of rehabilitation and adopted the C-Square redevelopment plan. That redevelopment plan, not the underlining gateway zone, is what is controlling. The redevelopment plan supersedes any existing zoning, and the board reviews this application under the plan's standards as it would a conforming application with deviations governed by the municipal land use law. So if we miss something, then the gateway zone will kick in. But as you're going to hear, this plan meets all of the redevelopment requirements and identified in the redevelopment plan. We're going to present three witnesses. It'll be our architect, we're going to have our traffic engineer, and then we'll have our professional engineer as well. At this time, if I may, I'd ask that Brent Hammond please stand up.
Can I interrupt just for 1 second? If there's anybody that has electronic devices, please put them on mute or something, because we don't want to be interrupted.
Mr. Hammond, tell us your profession and your business address for the record.
Hi, good evening. My name is Brett Martin.
Microphone, please.
You're going to have to speak up as well.
Yeah. Good evening. My name is Brett Harmon, licensed architect in New Jersey, and my office address is 1225 North 7th Street, Philadelphia, PA.
Now, you haven't appeared before this board, have you?
I have not.
So why don't you tell us a little bit quickly about your background and what makes you a licensed architect and your involvement in municipal land use law?
I got a master's degree in architecture and planning, and I've been practicing for about 25 years at this point, doing all different types of projects, commercial, residential, some industrial.
You can accept the credentials as spoken.
Thank you. Did your office prepare the architectural plans for this one?
Yes. The set marked SD.
Oh, well, swear a minute.
Please raise your right hand. Do you swear to testimony about to get to this board will be the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth?
Yes.
And your previous testimony up to this time?
Absolutely.
Describe the existing site. What's there?
The site is improved currently with a vacant, deteriorated two-story, 31-unit family building, the former C-Square, along with an in-ground pool and surface parking. The structure has been condemned by the city's construction official as an unsafe structure.
And at a high level, what are we proposing?
Complete redevelopment of the 1.11 acre site with a new four-story multifamily building constructed over grade level parking containing 43 residential units with associated amenities, a pool and a deck, an amenity room and a gym, a rooftop recreation area with a green roof and accessory beach shower storage structures.
And walk us through the building starting from the first floor.
Sure. The first grade level is all parking with a porte-cochere that you'll be able to drive up. And then we have a small lobby, which will have a mail and package room. There's two elevators. There's a storage area there.
And the residential units will occupy the second, third, and fourth levels?
That's correct.
First floor will occupy parking, the entry, the porte-cochere, like you said?
Correct.
And how many units, and what is the mix? In total, there, how many units are there?
We have a total of 43 units. We have 33 two-bedroom units, which is about 76% of the overall. And then we have 10 three-bedroom units, which is about 24%. The second floor has 13 units, and the third and fourth floors have 15 units each.
And approximately what's the gross floor area of the building?
The building is just over 70,000 square feet of gross floor area, excluding balconies, roughly 1,556 square feet on the first floor, 22,648 square feet on the second, 22,853 square feet on the third, and 22,736 square feet on the fourth, plus a 545 square foot roof access structure.
And can you describe the building height and the architectural features that step above the main roof?
Yeah. The flat roof surface is designed to be 46.5 feet above grade. Architectural elements step up from there. The roof deck at 47.83 feet. The top of parapet at the roof deck would be 49.5 feet to provide appropriate guardrail height. We have a center gable at 54 feet, top of ridge. The corner tower turret, top of that peak, will be at 58 feet. And the elevator shaft overrun at the roof deck is 62.83 feet above grade. The building is four stories.
And is the building height consistent with the controlling standard, which is the redevelopment plan?
Yes, it is. The redevelopment plan Schedule D establishes the maximum building height by element, flat roof, roof deck, parapets, center gable, corner tower turret, and elevator overrun, and a maximum of four stories. The design conforms to those.
And can you describe the exterior architectural treatment?
Absolutely. It is a shingle-style coastal building, lap siding with masonry accents, gable dormers, bay window projections, and a prominent corner tower turret at the Bay Avenue 34th Street corner. With a porte-cochere at the Bay Avenue entrance, the renderings at SD 3.0 and SD 4.0 show the Bay Avenue elevation.
Our Vanna White is actually Rustin Oler, who is a partner at the architectural firm of Hammond Deutsch Oler Architectural, and he's showing you these renditions that were already part of the application.
I think they're different. I can tell by the revision box, they're not the same that are in the packets.
We colored this for today's meeting. It's black and white in the previous packets.
Rich, did they need to be entered as exhibits?
Yes.
Enter exhibit, what would you like us to call it?
Well, that's
A1?
Which one? Because none of them match what are in the packets because of that revision date. I'm like, SD 4.0 is different, SD 5.0 is not, so do we need to enter all these in, Rich?
Yes.
As separate?
Okay. Were these revisions provided to the board as an exhibit, or were these, tell us about the origins of these.
Sure.
We're going to let that go. Tell us about the origins.
This is the second color because we're replacing it.
What's the revision date?
I have 5/12/2027.
And are those the revision dates that match the exhibits that are before you in the packet for the architectural plans? Either way, we're going to introduce them as exhibit A-1. They're demonstrative as to what the building is going on.
Do you want them all separate or all as one?
How many exhibits are A-1?
Yeah.
So right now we have only provided, and we can hand them to you as well.
So do we want to do sheet SD 4.0?
We're just going to
is A1. John, you want to do that? So SD 4.0 is exhibit A1. Well, wait a second. That's not even in the packets, the SD 4.0.
Where's 3.0? Is this one?
3.0.
3.0 is. So let's name SD 3.0 A1. You got to help me out. Because that's not in the packets. And that's not in the revisions
so
either.
And we'll do SD 3.0.
As A1.
And 3.0.
And then...
It's 3.1.
3.1. Oh, sorry. 3.1 is going to be A1.
Do you need them separate?
Yeah, and then 3.0 is going to be A2.
And then 4.0.
And then what about 5.0? That's not in here either. So you're going to have to...
And 5.0.
Okay, so SD 4.0 is going to be A3. Yeah?
Yes.
And then SD 5.0 is A4.
Yes.
And then those two I will need. Thank you.
All right. Moving back to how does the design address the fact that the site is in a flood hazard area?
The property is in FEMA flood zone, AE. The elevation is 9. The habitable floors begin above the flood elevation. The lowest habitable floor at elevation 21. And the grade level enclosures, parking, which consists of parking, storage, stair towers, entry, transformer platform, beach showers, are wet flood proof with engineered flood vents that meet the NFIP and Uniform Construction Code requirements. The enclosed areas are limited to parking, building access, and storage, consistent with the flood regulations.
And can you describe the accessory structures and the rooftop amenity?
Yes. There is a beach storage building and changing shower rooms with masonry veneer and fiber cement treated, matching the principal building, plus an electric transformer platform. The roof includes a roof deck and a green roof area, providing both amenity space and stormwater benefit. And the second floor amenity level includes the pool deck, amenity room, and gym.
Can you just expand a little bit on that green roof?
Okay, so up on the roof, we have three areas that provide deck areas for the owners, three separate areas, and then surrounding the roof deck area, which is kind of in the center of the building, which you'll see on the roof plan, is surrounded by a green roof area. And then we have stair towers for our means of egress, and the two elevators come up to the to provide accessibility to that roof deck.
So talk a little bit more about the green roof mechanics.
Well, the green roof will slow down any rain that the green roof accumulates. It will slow down the discharge of the rainwater to the municipal system, is what it does.
You're expecting grass up there?
Absolutely.
Some type of floral designs?
Correct.
In your professional opinion, is the architecture appropriate for the gateway location?
Yes, the scale, materials, and detailing are designed to present an attractive residential streetscape that accentuates its entry point into the city, consistent with the purpose of the gateway designation and the goals of the redevelopment plan.
I have no further questions. If the board has any specific questions or if you want to reserve them for later, that's fine.
We'll reserve, but does the board have any questions at this point? What are the dates on these exhibits that we were in conflict with?
5/12/2026.
At this point, I'd like to call up David Trotshire.
Before you take those away, can you mark them, please? Can you mark this one as A3? John, thank you. And then sheet 5.0 is A4. And those are the two I'm going to need before
we leave. We also have small copies for you. A4?
A4, yes, thank you.
This is A1.
Well, that one I already have.
Okay.
I have A1, A2. I just don't have 3 or 4 in the exhibits that were provided.
But Mr. Shropshire, it's probably been a really long time.
You swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give to this board will be the truth.
I do. Mr. Shropshire, it's been a long time since you've been before this board. Can you tell us what you do and your licenses and so that the board can take you as a professional
witness? Name.
Name? David Shropshire.
It's S-H-R-O-P-S-H-I-R-E. I'm a professional engineer, professional planner in the state of New Jersey. Traffic engineering, transportation planning is the area of expertise. I've testified before this board and over 200 throughout the state of New Jersey in those specific areas of expertise, professional traffic engineering, transportation plan. And I also have a Bachelor of Science from Virginia Tech, Master of Science from the University of Arizona, both in civil engineering with a specialty in traffic and transportation.
I can accept those credentials. I know you've been in front of us before.
Okay.
You may proceed.
Mr. Shropshire, have you seen the Ocean City Police Traffic Safety Unit memorandum dated April 8th, 2026?
Yes.
And it says, this is part of the not the application, but I'm happy to mark it. This says, I do not note any issues that will negatively impact traffic or pedestrian safety.
Correct.
Do you agree with that?
I do.
Tell us why.
Well, the reason why is, based on the size of this unit, what's being planned, it's not going to generate a significant amount of traffic. So that's the reason. When we compare it to what was there before, it's very comparable to the C-Spray in terms of what the C-Spray used to generate when we did the trip generation comparisons between this proposal and that existing facility. Very comparable in terms of what it generates, so it's not going to be much of any change with regard to what you formerly saw out there. There is one major change, though, that no more access on 34th Street, which I think is a benefit to remove that traffic directly from the higher volume street. So that's a benefit that's being introduced with this new development.
No left-hand turn.
And with regard to the accesses that are being proposed for the site, there's a port-a-share on Bay and half county review. The county review has limited the outbound to a right turn only, and that's based on the proximity of these driveways to the signalized intersection and the delays that can occur during the peak summertime on Bay as it approaches 34th Street going in the southbound direction.
And you prepared a report dated October 9th, 2025?
That's correct.
And what field data did you collect for that report?
Last July, we did counts during a standard July weekday and also during a Saturday so that we could get the peak seasonal activity. And we evaluated those peak hours. The critical one, obviously, was Saturday between 1 and 2 in the afternoon. And, you know, about 24, almost 2,500 vehicles at the intersection of 34th and Bay during that time period. So, you know, we know that that's a substantial volume at that intersection during that time in the season.
Did you analyze how the surrounding intersection will operate with the project built?
Yes, and in effect, because it's such a low amount of traffic being generated by this, basically Institute of Transportation Engineers data for this type of facility, we're looking at 15 to 16 peak hour trips. It's just not going to generate a lot of traffic that's going to add to that traffic in the overall system. And if you just do the math, 15 to 16 trips, if it was all oriented towards the 24 to 2500 trips that are existing today at 34th and Bay, it's a drop in the bucket, and everyone can see it. So it's not changing any level of service at any of the intersections that are surrounding this. At our driveways themselves, we have acceptable levels of service because, again, it's a low volume generator.
Can you just tell us about the main signalized intersection at Bay Avenue and 34th Street and Roosevelt Boulevard and how that all interconnects with our project?
Sure. The way that it interconnects is our traffic will be generated primarily back in that direction. But again, when we're talking about 15 to 16 trips, it's not generating a lot of traffic back into that intersection. So we have overall level of service Bs and Cs for the overall intersection. And as everybody experiences it out at that intersection, there are delays during the summer. A lot of those delays are really oriented towards other things that are happening in the overall roadway network, pedestrian crossings, so where the Wawa is, the amount of inbound traffic that is given a great degree of the green time coming from the bridge on 34th Street inbound, and the limited amount of green time that's given to the southbound direction of Bay Avenue, which creates some level of delay on that approach. But with regard to what's being added here, it's just not a large amount of traffic that's being added, and so it doesn't change any of the operational characteristics of that intersection.
What is your overall professional opinion on traffic for this project?
Again, it's a low generator. It's not going to change any operational situations out there today. The driveway itself for the project has been designed in accordance with generally accepted standards. County has jurisdiction over basically what that's going to look like, and they've already made their determination on how that's going to work.
I have no other questions for Mr. Shropshire. If anybody has any, you can ask them now, or of course, preserve them for later.
I think I wanted to mention parking.
Parking.
Was the other element. We meet the requirements, and we meet those requirements for the municipality based on the EV spaces that are being incorporated into this project. But we also, in our report, took a look at what the Institute of Transportation Engineers would say our peak generation would be for this type of use. And if we looked at the 85th percentile for this type of use, we were looking at 62 parking spaces. That's the data that we have from the Institute of Transportation Engineers. So with 79 parking spaces proposed, more than enough parking to accommodate what we anticipate to be the peak demands here.
Thank you.
Board have any questions?
I have a question.
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Just trying to envision is how you, a person living there actually would then, they can only come out and make a right-hand turn.
Correct.
So if they want to leave town, how do you envision, so they're going to go, because you can't,
Loop 33rd.
But 33rd, you can't get to a K-turn, 33rd doesn't go across.
33rd, loop to, you're going to make a right turn loops.
So go through Simpson?
Correct.
And go out that way.
Correct.
Be the
yeah. Right.
And a follow-up to that, how are we going to direct the residents to make that right turn? Is it just going to be signage or any concrete?
John Halperin may be able to.
We'll get John Halperin up here and he'll tell us. But there'll be a sign.
Right. Yeah, it'll at least be signage. It may actually be more.
Might be a mechanism that they can't make a, you know, some We'll see how we can do that.
Are the parking stalls assigned to the units or just, first come, first serve?
We're going to have Mr. Hal Berner take that question for you, if that's okay. Now, this is some familiar face that you have seen. We can have him sworn in, John. Hal Berner from Highland Design Group.
You swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give this board to be the truth?
I do.
We recognize this, Mr. Hal.
Yeah, Mr. Hal Berner has been in front of us on many occasions, and we are familiar with his credentials, and we may proceed.
Did you feel it, Mr. Chairman?
Are you familiar with the application of the site and the Sea Spray redevelopment plan?
I am.
Okay. And what is the governing land use standard when you helped engineer this? What did you look at?
Atypically, we're not looking at the base zone which it lies, we're looking at the redevelopment zone standards adopted by council. This is something this board probably doesn't see much of. You're very accustomed to seeing the base zone requirements out of your ordinance. We are, in fact, within the GW zone, but those zoning requirements really have no applicability here. We're looking squarely at the bulk requirements established by the redevelopment plan adopted by council.
Is the proposed use singularly residential permitted under the redevelopment plan?
It is.
Does the project comply with the plan's density limitations?
It does. In fact, it's slightly better. The plan allows for 1.83 dwelling units per 2,000 square feet to a maximum of 43. We're actually at 1.78 dwelling units per 2,000 square feet and matching that cap of 43 units. So, yes, we comply, slightly less.
Does the building plan, does the building meet the plan's yard coverage and height standards?
It does, in every category.
And what relief does the applicant actually need and under what standard?
Well, relief, we don't really need any relief. If you want to consider a design waiver, which I'll talk about briefly, relief is not required. The plan, as presented, fully complies with the redevelopment plan.
So what we're looking for is site plan approval, preliminary, and final.
Correct.
Okay. Let's talk about the waivers that we did not encapsulate in the redevelopment plan. There's one and a half.
One and a half, exactly. We'll talk about the one easy, but that's easy. Design standards within our ordinance require that rear yard fences not exceed 4 feet in height. The fence that we're proposing, which runs along our easterly boundary, dividing us from the adjacent vacant lot in Trader's Lane, we're proposing to be 6 feet. We failed to include that within the redevelopment plan, and we continue to propose that it be 6 feet. Now, should that find the board find that objectionable, we can reduce that to 4. We don't think it's a good idea. That 6 foot fence helps block the visual effect of all the understory parking that's happening. But nonetheless, that is a waiver that was not identified within the redevelopment plan, and we seek that this evening. The 0.5 one we talked about, that could be 0.5. There's a requirement that shows up twice in your ordinance, one within the zone plan and then one within the design standards, and that is the solid fences and hedges can exceed 3 feet in the front yard. The redevelopment plan recognized and allowed us to have a 5 foot masonry wall with an additional 18 inch screening on top that covered the variance or the zone plan aspect of it, but it did not encapsulate the design standard portion of that. So the plan allows it, but there's not a waiver that we specifically identified, so that's why it's a 1.5. I don't know how you're not considered permissible, but there it is.
Well, I can talk about that. All right. Briefly, does the site plan adequately address engineering?
It does. The typical things you're dealing with site plan stormwater, from a stormwater perspective, without even considering the beneficial delaying effects of the rate of runoff from the green roof, there is a slight reduction in the overall rate and volume of runoff from the property. That's done by having a slight reduction in the overall impervious coverage from present conditions. Furthermore, flow patterns remain identical. There is basically a northern and a southern drainage area, that contributes to inlets in the intersection of Roosevelt slash 34th Street and Bay, and another set of inlets on 33rd Street and Bay. The flow that goes to each of those is either matched or reduced in both cases. So stormwater is absolutely satisfied, again, without even taking the beneficial effect of having the green roof.
And is the redevelopment plan in this application consistent with the master plan?
It is, in fact. There is a consistency report prepared by this board, in fact. And again, the plan that was presented to the council is the same plan presented to us here this evening, and it's entirely consistent.
And you heard the question from Ms. Halliday, regarding the parking and whether it's going to be identified. Can you just touch on that?
Yeah, the particular details of that have yet to be really worked out. There's several options that are available to us, and other than saying we definitely qualify with each of the quantities, we're not sure whether they're going to be done one per unit with additionals available on a per sale basis, or additional ones given to rooms with additional bedrooms. That is really yet to be worked out. But suffice it to say, the minimum number of parking spaces required for the facility are in fact provided.
Most likely it'll be at least one parking spot, potentially two, but at least one parking spot will be identified per unit.
Yeah, I would expect that to be the case.
And that is not going to be identified in the master deed. That is going to be something that the association will have flexibility in changing what unit gets what parking spot. Is that your understanding as well?
Indeed.
Well, in your professional opinion, should the board grant preliminary final site plan approval?
Absolutely. This is essentially a fully compliant plan that's presented before you. And before I skip a lot of the details I might normally go into in terms of the hard engineering, I'm happy to go into any of those that may want to, but suffice it to say, it's a fully compliant plan.
Any questions from the board?
Yeah, I have a
question.
Just look at the road plan. Talk about the parking. So just look at the parking stall. It looks like there's 24 feet between the parking spots, like as far as pulling in and pulling out. Is that like a standard, or what is the normal?
That is a very standard two-way traffic aisle width for 90-degree parking, yes.
Right. Obviously, we want to make sure people can get into the spots with the proper turn radius if we want to the street with the parking there.
Correct.
I mean, so for instance, like, is that similar to what's out back here? Is that 24 feet between spots just by looking at it? Or I'm just
trying to get it back. But I can tell you, as a standard, and I think you'll find Mr. Shiley will agree, as he's nodding his head,
right,
that a 24-foot drive aisle is typical and normal for two-way traffic with 90-degree parking.
Okay. Again, so I just want to make sure people turn radius get in spots. It's not too difficult enforcing them on the street with any pillars or things like that. And sometimes turning can be difficult.
To give you the context, a typical travel lane on a road is 11 feet wide. The shoulder might be 12 feet wide. So we're dealing with a two-lane road within a parking area.
Okay.
A little bit of testimony on the left-hand turn stop coming out of the building.
Yes, after this application was really submitted to this board, the county is doing through its review process simultaneously, and they've requested that we limit any turning movements out of the exit of the Portico Share along Bay Avenue to only be right-hand turn, to not allow left-hand turn. They're concerned with the queuing distance that may occur with the signalized intersection of Bay Avenue. Also, 34th Street.
So how are you going to enforce that right turn only?
Thank
are there plan changes?
There will be a plan change that will reflect a no left turn sign at the exit. Right now, there's a sign already proposed there that shows a stop sign and the warning of pedestrian crossing. And third one will be added to say no left turn. It could be further reinforced if the county desires or desired. We could actually paint an arrow with a curve to the right on the exiting driveway. But I'm expecting the sign itself will suffice.
And that's regulated by the county?
Correct. Bay Avenue, as well as 34th Street slash Roosevelt Boulevard, are both county roads. It's their bailiwick. We're at their mercy with their master to serve.
Could you clarify again what's going on with the solid fence out front? I'm clear on the 6-foot vinyl on the back, but.
Yes. There is a pose around the perimeter of the building and also the part of the parking that's not in the building on closer to Bay Avenue, perhaps.
Now, your site plan is one that might be a Was this marked as an exhibit already?
It's in there.
What sheet is that?
This is sheet SD 1.0.
No, that was not entered as an exhibit.
What's that dated, John?
This is dated May 12, 2026. This, by the way, I'm sorry, this is the architect's rendering of the site plan.
So we're going to mark that. I did, the traffic safety report is A5, so that's going to be A6. Please.
And then Mr. Scheiding's point, I'm going to introduce a whole other series of exhibits.
And that's what sheet SD
1.0? SD 1.0. And I've got a site plan myself here, but this one I have to render, so it'll be easier for you to see from the distance. Around the perimeter of the beneath building footprint, and also extending out where the building does not cover parking, out towards 34th Street, returning along 34th Street, except for pedestrian entry, and terminating at our easterly boundary, there is a 5-foot tall masonry wall for cover. And finally, that was the 18-inch wood louvered screen. Sole purpose is to create a backdrop both for landscaping, visible for people on the street, and then also, probably more importantly, to screen the rather unsightly component of parking. Rather than parking within the front yard, we're screening that. So that's rather unusual, and that's the result of the waiver that's necessary for the otherwise 3-foot limitation within the front yard.
Thank you.
If I could, for a good point of clarification for Mr. Scheider's point, there is a series of revisions to the entire site plan set with the revision date of May 14th, 2026 from my office. That is the original submitted plan set was dated in March sometime. There was a revision of May 14th. That revision consisted substantively of the addition of an electric transformer platform. I'm going to refer back to A6. In the southeast corner. The originally proposed site plan dated March. In this quadrant, the beach storage shed was there, but there was a series of two outdoor shower and changing area enclosures. As a result of the need for the quick transformer that had to be in the platform, we had to reconfigure that area and actually reduce and eliminate one of the shower enclosures in favor of a raised platform that was supposed to transform. That is a substantive change that occurred from the May 14th revisions that are introduced as an exhibit. We'll call that as a set, unless you want to sheet, we'll call that A7.
That's up to the attorneys. Not all the pages were revised though?
Correct.
So what do you want to do? Just enter that one, find the sheet that it is revised on and just enter that.
Enter that, or we can just make it a condition of approval.
It's on that sheet there. It's on SD1, right? And then it would be. What do you guys think?
Well, honestly, we can rely just upon this, and the revisions that I provided can be wrapped up into a couple other minor cleanup items we need to press a perfection approval. We could ignore the fact I gave you the client set dated the 14th.
I'd like to do that.
You want to do that?
Absolutely.
I think you submit a cover letter that's indicating where these revisions are found. That would be helpful.
Okay.
Yes, we'll take care of that.
So please ignore the client set dated May 14th. That's going to make Mr. Schulz and Mr. Tarshadi's job a little bit difficult when they go through the reports. Because I got a lot of the concerns I think were addressed in that.
Did any of this change in the transformer area or the electrical area eliminate the dog lock?
I'm sorry, eliminate
the dog tub?
No, it's still there.
Oh, it was in one of the pictures. That's the only reason I remembered it.
That's within the confines of the building proper.
Because it was in that area.
Be the first of its kind in Ocean City. The transformer doesn't initiate or trigger any variances or waivers.
It does not. There was a net total increase of 50 square feet of impervious coverage. However, the total impervious coverage as proposed is 85%, which remains below the 86% that was allowed within the redevelopment plan.
Any other questions?
We rest at this point. Of course, we'll answer any additional questions.
Any additional questions from the board at this point? From the applicant?
I have a question about the exterior materials. Can you describe what they're going to be? Fiber cement siding?
Yeah. So, yeah, fiber cement siding. This would be a cellular PVC sheet glue, at our trim work, and we like a cedar shape siding where we break out our fourth floor, something like that, sort of trying to break that up a little.
Natural cedar or composite?
Something to reduce the maintenance and maintain the finish on it so it's not constantly changing.
The composite.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And then we do have some brick at the base.
Anything else? Not have a motion to open it up.
How about Dave and Randy?
Oh yeah, Dave and Randy. Dave and Randy. They got all kinds of stuff. You were home. Mr. Shule, sorry.
Thanks, Mr. Shule.
A long day.
This report has a little bit of time on it. My report is dated April 13th, 2026. Based on the initial plan submission and the redevelopment plan that was submitted at that point in time, and we'll have an opportunity to review that proposal with the applicant or subsequently review. I'm going to. There were a few checklist waivers which had no issue with them. Application was deemed complete as far as the site plan that was submitted. I'm going to go to my schedule of district regulations, page 5, basically indicating general conformance with all of the items on that page. When we got over to page 6, the redevelopment plan seemed to mix and match some of the items in the plan itself with those in the city code. So at that point in time back in March, I had cited, consistent with what was shown in the redevelopment plan, the need for variances by virtue of the discussion at that subcommittee meeting and discussions following that, it was clarified that the redevelopment plan supersedes the city code, which I certainly agree with. And that those that information in the plan was put in for comparison purposes. It was not to indicate that variances or design waivers were required at that point. Tonight we've heard the fact that there are design waivers required for fences at the rear of the property, 6-foot high vinyl, and the 5-foot block masonry wall at the front corner with a fence above it. I have no issue with the board granting design waivers for both of those items. I think they are appropriate for the location and will not adversely affect the adjoining properties. So, long and short of it is, the variances that are noted in my report on page 6 do not apply. The application is in conformance with the redevelopment plan requirements. Go to my review comments. Again, the architectural guidelines and the city ordinance do not apply. The applicant, as far as the adequacy of the refuse room, explained how materials will be disposed. That was dealt with at the site plan subcommittee meeting. Comment 3 and 4, the board is inclined to approve, should be attached as conditions of approval where that additional information would be provided on the plans. We talked about lighting in the beach, the parking, beach storage parking area adjacent to 34th Street. I don't know what the upshot of that was. My notes aren't clear whether the applicant decided not to do that or whether we're anticipating lighting in that area. Perhaps we can hear from the applicant before the meeting's over. That's comment number 5. Same thing with number 6. I don't recall there were any signs proposed. time I did my report back in March. I don't know if that has changed now. If indeed there are signs being proposed, they should be brought to the board's attention and shown on the plans. If not, the applicant can come back for signage later. Comment number 7 has been dealt with. That doesn't apply. Comment number 8, the applicant addressed that via the subcommittee, and there were questions from Mr. For tonight here regarding the accessibility and the ability for folks to maneuver in and out of parking spaces. A 24-foot drive aisle is standard, and the applicant is providing that, so access would be assured within his garage. Number 9 has to do with fences. That's out of the city design waiver. There's a design waiver required for that, and that is dealt with. That particular item is dealt with in the redevelopment plan. And comment number 10 has to do with their rear yard fences. Again, the applicant has requested a design waiver for that, and I would support that design waiver request for a 6-foot vinyl fence. Excuse me, across the rear of the property. And any stormwater grading, utilities, and drainage, as normal, I would defer to the board of engineering. That's the extent of my comments.
Questions for Mr. Shuey? Seeing none, Mr. Shuey.
Thank you, Chairman and Board members. Our report was April 14th, 2026. I'd like to jump to the technical comments in that report, starting on page 8. Items 1 and 2 are no longer applicable. They were talking about variance relief based upon what was on the plan set that they were asking for. That has now been clarified. So paragraphs 3 through 6 talk about parking. We heard testimony that there is adequate parking here. The residential site improvement standards require 87 parking spaces. There are actually 79 physical parking spaces, but with the EV parking requirements as handed down by the state, they allow for some bonus credits on site for EV parking. Now, one of the things, these spaces need to be equipped as EV parking spaces, not make-ready parking spaces. So that will be a requirement in order to get a CO that they are actually legitimate, usable EV parking spaces. One thing I'd like some clarification on is the reason for the number of EV parking spaces. Out of the 79 parking spaces that are proposed, 20 of them are EV. It just seems like a lot to me, but some clarification would be good. By paragraph 5, since we're using these EV parking spaces, at least one of the handicap or the ADA spaces need to be EV charging compatible, so that'll need to be amended on the plan. And the appropriate marking shall be shown on all of those EV parking spaces. My paragraph 7 talks about elevations, design flood elevations. I'd like to have the plans amended at some point in time to identify the mechanical equipment, additionally the new transformer that we've heard about this evening, what the elevations are on them, and how that meets design flood elevation. Paragraph 8, our code requires all new curb and sidewalk along the frontages of any new commercial or residential developments. They're doing that on Bay Avenue. But on 34th Street, they're just doing new sidewalk and they're leaving the concrete curb. So technically, that's a design waiver on our part. However, it is within county jurisdiction. So I don't know whether we want to act on it or not, but our ordinance says thou shalt. You know, so we'll do that. Paragraph 9, I'd ask for floor plans for both the two-bedroom and the three-bedroom units. They're available tonight. We'd like to be able to see them. Just clarifying, are these two- and three-bedroom, or are they two and three-bedrooms with dens or other type things? So clarification was requested. I had no paragraph 11. Swimming pool water shall not be discharged to the municipal stormwater system unless it's adequately dechlorinated. I just want to make sure that's part of the record. There is a DEP permit for discharge of swimming pool water since it goes directly into the bay. I had some questions, paragraph 12, about some additional clarification on the grading, which should be shown on the revised plans. Paragraph 13, ordinance requires concrete for all parking areas and buildings, 6-inch thick reinforced concrete. They're proposing asphalt paved parking on that ground level. So I'd like some testimony on that, if asphalt is really going to be proposed or if it will comply with the concrete requirement. I agree with Mr. Halbruner's testimony tonight about the stormwater management calculations were provided. It's a net decrease in rate and volume of stormwater management, of stormwater flow from the site. And the green roof is also absolutely a plus for this. Paragraph 17 and 18 touch on those design waivers for the masonry wall with the cap fence and the 6-foot vinyl fence along the back. The plan should also clarify for us, by paragraph 19, that existing driveway that's going to be removed off of 34th Street, and then the infill, what that's going to be in that area. And I think lastly, I want to clarify on the plans, the minimum clear height of the structure over the at-grade parking area, and make sure we can get ADA vehicles in and out. That's pretty much all of my technical comments amended to our site subcommittee meeting.
Can I ask a question?
Yes. Jamie.
So in your opinion, if the county doesn't, if the county isn't asking 34th Street for and gutter to be done, do we need to bond it? Do you think it requires new?
Is that brand new?
It was completed within the past 2 months.
Yeah.
So no, unless it's damaged. Well, no, he's saying you need a waiver for it. That's why I'm asking. If the county's not requiring you to do it, then the board, either you need to do it as a condition from the board or get the waiver. So in your opinion, it doesn't need 34 streets.
Correct.
Unless it's damaged. Okay.
Unless it's
Thank
damaged.
You. I just want clarification.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jim.
Let's start with one quick easy question about the number of bedrooms. Want to do that? I'll jump to the interior ones.
Yeah, I don't know if there is a big
All right, so before we go, exhibit.
2.0.
And that's dated 5/12/26. Correct?
Correct.
Okay, so we're going to mark that A7.
These are our three three-bedroom units. Three-bedroom, three baths. This particular one, which is located at that tire on the corner, you come in, again, open kitchen, living room, dining area within that turret, an adjacent balcony. And then you would come down this hall, and we have a bedroom, sliding glass doors with a balcony, bathroom, another bedroom, bathroom, and then the primary bedroom with balcony, bathroom.
So do any of the two or three bedroom units have dens, studies, offices, libraries?
No.
Okay, thank you.
I think you're doing origami now.
All right, so you had a couple questions with regard to lighting. Thank you.
Correct.
Let's start with the lighting.
Easy enough. The lighting down around the heat storage and shower area is accomplished with a combination of wall-mounted sconces and bollards fixtures. The only other exterior fixture is one freestanding light standard within the open parking field that is not beneath the building. I'll refer back to Exhibit 86.
Is that currently on the plan, John?
That's on the plan that you don't know about. It's on the May 14th plan, we're pretending it didn't happen.
Okay.
You will see that in your notes. There's one freestanding light fixture and this island that eliminates the outside stalls. And then this area is, let's say, blocking the view, accomplished by wall-mounted sconces and bollard fixtures along the walkway, both here, also along the walkways we stay here and here.
Good.
The balance of it is ceiling-mounted lights from the overhead building. There is a lighting plan that will demonstrate conformance with minimum light levels and not exceeding the 0.5 we're moving over the property line as well.
Can you talk about signage?
Signage is not yet determined or designed. The intent is what it is ultimately designed. It'll be in a fully compliant manner and subject to the typical zoning permit procedure. If not, then we'll return to this board and see whatever variance would be necessary for. But there is no signage presently designed or proposed. There will be one there for sure.
And
Mr. Schoenig had a number of questions. I highlighted it from his report.
There was a third one.
Oh.
Look, I'll throw
it. A third
question? She had a third comment, so
transformer height.
Transformer.
And number of EV parking spaces?
Okay, so starting with the number of EV parking spaces, we're proposing a total of
20.
20, thank you.
It should be 20.
Not all 20 get that credit that you referred to in terms of parking count. Only 8 of those do. But they're proposed simply because the applicant sees a demand and use for them. Now, because they're there, it doesn't necessarily mean they have to be limited to use by an electric vehicle. Just going back to Ms. Halliday's earlier question about how parking spaces be assigned, if there is a demand for a space that is identified on our plan for EV use, but it's not required by the occupant, then we don't need to use it. But certainly to have the infrastructure in place for what the applicant foresees a rising demand for it, it's going to be in place.
So you're going to put the infrastructure in place for all 20?
Well, 8 of them are going to be fully operational. The balance of 12 may be operational, and they may simply have the conduit and wiring installed for future installation should they need demand.
So 8 are going to be ready to use.
Sorry?
8
yes.
Will be ready to use.
Okay. Eight, there's no if, ands, or buts about 8
okay.
Will be ready to use. Mr. Shire's comment that at least one of the ADA spaces needs to be EV capable. Agreed to acknowledge and revise plans and go forward. The amended plans you will receive will reflect concrete paving, Portland cement concrete paving for the parking area beneath the building, not the asphalt as originally submitted the March plans. Mr. Shutter, did I miss any of the comments you wanted testimony on?
ADA compliant height in the garage.
I'll let the architect jump in on that, but I know we have at least 8 feet, not that there's more.
We do. At our lowest point in the garage is 8'2", which is in this zone where our ADA stalls are located.
Mr. Halbrunner, or somebody, how wide is the sidewalk on Bay Avenue?
That'll be me. I can give you it. Just a second. 6 feet.
6 feet on Bay.
6 feet.
6 feet.
Because the one on 34th Street looks wider. There's no dimensions that I can see without going through.
The proposed sidewalk width along Bay Avenue is 6 feet. The existing sidewalk is on the order of 4 feet.
Okay. I was just curious because they're...
Both 34th Street and Bay Avenue proposed with the 6 feet.
You might want to adjust the set of plans to reflect that. Because when you look at this, I can look at that as 6 feet, but when I look at Bay Avenue, I'm looking at less than 6 feet.
If you were to look at the exhibit you didn't receive, you'll see a hard dimension provided.
That's hard to look at.
They got them.
It's hard for me to say yes to an exhibit I didn't see.
We'll take care.
Not that this is admissible, but there you go.
Thank you.
It'll be called out.
It'll help.
It's on the Halbern.
Okay.
Anybody have any more questions?
Actually, I just have a quick question about your calculation of the, I think you said there's 8 spots that are required or that get credits.
Correct.
What's the formula for that? How they?
The formula by state statute is not more than 10% of the required parking spaces can benefit from an EV credit, where if you put the EV system in, then that space actually counts as two. So by strict RSIS parking demand requirements, 87 spaces are required. We have 79 stripe spaces. 10% of that is 7.9. You know, took 8 spaces, assigned them to be EV use, and get a credit of one additional space for each of those. So those 79 plus the 8 credit gives us a total credit of 87 spaces, even though there's 79 physically there. That's confusing, and I hope I explained that clearly for you.
Clear as mud.
So, John, so yes. You only got the credit for 8 of them, not all 20.
That's correct. Correct. And the analysis on the cover sheet of even the March plan shows that math, if you care to try and follow that.
Now, can I have a motion to open it up to the public?
So moved.
Sure. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, I'd like to open this application up to the public, and for simplicity, we're at 34th and Bay. Anyone from the public want to drop this for a second so I can see who's over there? Anybody from the public want to have a comment on this? Please come forward at this time. State your name and address for the record.
Robert Woolery. Mr. Woolery, can you please raise your right hand? Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give to this board will be the truth?
Yes.
Address?
I own a portion of the condominium right in front.
We need his address.
Trader's
address. Address, please.
I want to explain something about
excuse
that.
Me. Excuse me. Your address. They need your address.
Where I live? 17 Marshall. It's been mentioned a bit tonight about the transformer, and I want to tell you why that's there if you don't know. There used to be an alley. There's a paper alley between our property and Sea Spray. Sea Spray has taken over 100% of that alley, and they're removing two utility poles, and that's why they need the transformer. I'm not. think it's unusual to take over the vacated alley 100% to one side, but so there'll be no more utility poles there, but they're running the electric underground, and that's why you need a transformer. Just think that's interesting.
Thank you. Anyone else from the public have a comment? Please come forward at this time. Seeing no additional public, I'd like a motion to close the public.
Absolutely.
Do I have a second?
Aye.
All in favor?
Aye.
Back to the applicant for closing. Mr. Battistini?
We believe we have met the standards for preliminary and final site plan approval that's required under the redevelopment plan. We believe this is going to be a market improvement, certainly as to what is there, and going to be an amazing architectural building in the gateway zone. It's going to be a beautifully architected, landscaped building that is going to enhance the entrance off of 34th Street into Atlantic City. Thank you.
Before we go to a motion, Jamie,
Dave, Richard, any guarantees going to be required on the behalf of the city?
Safety and stabilization guarantee.
Right,
because there's no other.
We're not going to do it.
There's no other work.
You want him to create the cost estimate? Okay.
We're happy for the engineer.
Pre-construction meeting required?
Yes.
I think that was it. Oh, utility letters? Do we need utility letters?
We have one.
Thank you.
May I have a motion in the affirmative for approval of the applicant's application for preliminary and final site plan approval for the construction of a 43-unit multi-family residential building with the two waivers for a masonry wall and the height of the fence.
Based on what we've heard from our solicitor, do I have a motion?
Aye.
Do I have a second?
Mr. Allegretto?
I will vote yes. I think the lines happened to this property. Obviously, you're going to see what's something done there. I think the building that's been presented is consistent and meets the intent of the redevelopment the city council passed for this property. A couple of waivers for product seem pretty insignificant to the overall project, so I vote yes.
Mr. Barnes?
I vote yes as well. It's a great addition to that corner. Long overdue.
Mr. Becker?
I also vote yes for the previously stated reasons, as well as it just adds to everything that we've done on 34th Street with the county doing raising, the elevating, 34th Street Playground, which we're renovating starting in the fall. So I just think it adds to the entire 34th Street gateway entrance.
Mr. Shepherd?
I vote yes also for the previously stated, and again, with that was just mentioned, you know, all the improvements that have occurred up and down 34th Street, raising for flood and everything else. I think that is a great project up in the gateway zone.
Mr. Adams?
Also going to vote yes. The project has we've been in subcommittee meetings for more than a decade on this piece of property, and it is a very important piece, I think, for the town, for the island. It's the gateway zone. The gateway zone is created to be just as its name, the gateway, one of the two main gateways into our town. To have a very old, dilapidated, and now condemned building to be replaced with a really well-done piece of architecture that fits every metric that the redevelopment plan stated is really good to see. On top of that, stormwater management plan was very well done. The rooftop, I like. The new plan has less stormwater impact than what currently exists. So all those things are really, really great to have contained within this design. And I'm very excited about this project going forward. So I really
Dr. Vandeshore?
I also vote yes for all three of the stated reasons. The plan complies with the redevelopment plan. The design waivers are appropriate for the property. The overall property is in pretty strong condition to that corner.
Mrs. Halliday?
I vote yes for the previously stated reasons.
Mr. Stell?
I vote yes for the previously stated reasons as well.
Mr. Loper?
I vote yes for all the previously stated reasons, plus I believe it follows the intent of the redevelopment plan, and it's a well-designed building and it should really enhance the 34th Street entrance.
I need exhibits A3 and A4, please.
Now,
thank you everybody for your time, and Mr. Allegretta, we have a place to be.
Yes, we do.
Can you do the minutes?
No, you don't go yet. Okay, can I have a, I have some business to deal with, so if we're going to talk, go out to the hall. I want to adopt the minutes of 5/13/26. Do I have a motion? Subcommittee reports.
Excuse me, we're still in a meeting.
I'm going to have to ask everybody to leave. We're going to close session.
We're going into executive, but I need A3 and A4 now. Just those two.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Rich, we need to go into executive. Yeah, you can go. We're going to talk about you. And he's interested in continuing with the board. But if you want to seek new new solicitor, now's the time we need to start then.
Or January.
No. If they want to solicit, get a new solicitor in place for January, we need to start now with the bidding process. Yeah,
because the bidding process
is the government. And then interviews. But Rich did say he was interested in staying.
And he has sat in on other occasions when Gary wasn't available. I think he's well versed in this stuff. I don't. It's a poor decision, but
yeah. Right. Even about proposals, it's not. It's obviously not the lowest bid or lowest number, so feels best suited for the board.
If you want to send it out to bid.
Right. I mean, if you did do a bid, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And again, if you wanted to do that, then we would have to start now. But the resolution was awarded to Griffith and Carlucci, so he's able to stay.
Right.
And then if you decide, you know, you do want to keep him on, then you can award without having to go out to bid, which is what we've done consistently with the professionals.
So we can do that without
You could do that, right, but I just need to know now if that's the route you'd like
to
take.
Right, things with advertised this whole thing, so we can appoint you.
Takes a long time.
Okay, right, if you wanted to seek other options.
I think the chairperson of the board, again, John, in my opinion, everything works well with him. Again, he's been here with Gary and filled in at the meal.
And I know he and Gary have talked on different conferences. complicated subjects that we've had, because I've had conversations with Gary throughout the course of years on different things. So,
right. It's a yearly appointment, so every year we can.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can report it through the non-competitive.
We're not happy to always, next summer, decide to go.
Well, he's going to defend us in a thing coming up soon, so we'll see.
Don't know that.
We don't know that.
That was it. I just wanted to ask because then we would have to start the process pretty soon.
Thank you, Jamie, for bringing that to our attention.
Thanks for saving some time.
That's it.
Okay. Do I have a motion to return?
So moved.
I need to go home and eat hot dogs.